Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
For the 100th time today, I saw a video. And the video is of, like, 6-year-old Chinese kids sitting on the ground, all in uniform. These are boys and girls. And they're bouncing a basketball, one in each hand. And, like, they're opening their legs and closing their legs and bouncing them, you know, in between. And they're making shapes and they're it's like, wow. And people are like, look at what they're doing in China. They're learning all about teamwork. And I saw David Marcus say not a single one of these kids could beat any U.S. kindergarten student at all. You bring me kindergarten students from Brooklyn, they'll show you how to play basketball. You're all full of it here. It's the weirdest video in the world. And I want to say for the record, I think it's AI. Tony Katz today. I don't know. It's, what am I supposed to take from this? That sure, in China, they have teamwork. In the United States, we teach kids how to be trans. You don't have to explain to me the issues. But let's not look at this and all of a sudden say China's got us beat. China doesn't have us beat unless we do nothing and allow them to beat us. Videos like this are meant to demoralize. They're meant to show. You know how many kids I can show you on tumbling teams all across America? You want to see perfect coordination? You want to see dance team? Go amongst all of the garbage videos you can see on Facebook. And oh, there are a lot of garbage videos. There are videos of 12-year-olds on dance teams engaged in dancing in perfect coordination, whether it be kind of street dancing or it be ballroom dancing. There is nothing here. Why is this video being shared? Unless you say, wow, pretty cool. That's it. There's nothing else. Have you ever seen the video of the young kid making music? I don't know his name, but like he can hear the song in his head, and he's producing songs. Okay, yeah, here he is. I don't know the kid's name though. Here, this is one of the videos.
Trumpet. Copy automation data. Now look what it does.
So he's playing the tunes. He's utilizing the software program to make it all come together. He's six.
Phaser effect. Chroma verb. Do this. Now it's gotta have that sound, Mike.
And he goes through the whole thing, and at the end, he's puts the song together. Gotcha, babe. Gotcha. And he has a song. Ta-da! Kid six. He's creating things that most people would never be able to create. Take that, China! If you give a kid a chance to follow their inclinations and their instincts, they might create something outrageously valuable. If you put kids in a room and tell them they can't see their parents again until they dribble the basketball properly, you can create this video out of China. Choose! China is going to destroy us because of this? This is what people in China are rebelling against. You don't have to tell me about the threat that China is, the threat that China poses, nor do you have to tell me about the threat to America that we pose when we engage these levels of radicalness like we see on college campuses, like we see in schools amongst the woke who actually think that children can determine their own gender. When we see parents leading children in anti-Israel, pro-Hamas marches. We see parents tell their daughters, sorry, you don't get to make the swim team or the track team because there's a boy over there who likes to call himself Tina. And now he's on the team and you're out. No scholarship for you, actual name Tina. And we see parents totally fine with this, cheering this. People thrilled with telling young women just to lay back and take it. That you don't count, that you should be erased. You better believe that's a way to destroy a civilization. You understand in China that young adults have given up the idea that somehow they're ever going to get a job that makes sense. They've absolutely given up the idea. They are on the search for some meaning in their lives. We do not fully delve in enough to the total cultural disaster that is China, that Xi Jinping is desperately trying to keep at bay and under wraps. How does he do this? By trying to get everybody a job. You know what they don't have? Jobs. There are no jobs. You have an entire real estate market, whether it be a country garden, Evergreen. These places have fallen apart. They built all these ghost cities. Nobody lives in them, and they no longer have the ability to do so. They have no ability to do so. They can't provide the jobs that they're supposed to promise because communism is supposed to take care of everything. Young Chinese people have fallen out with the idea that somehow things are good or somehow going to get better. They know it. They are fully aware. The latest was about how tourism in China on May Day was big, but the travelers aren't spending the same amount of money. Well, you're also not manufacturing the same amount of goods because you locked people down for COVID, because you locked people down for a whole series of reasons, and you're not producing. You're not producing, so the world isn't buying, so you're not producing. It's a really ugly cycle. You've got Xi Jinping visiting Europe, and the European Union is only saying, we're going to protect our economy. The president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen. By the way, von der Leyen's a good last name. That one. Some people tell me Katz is a good last name. Like, yeah, it's not bad. But try and create a first name for it. Like naming kids with the last name Katz, very difficult. Very, because it's hard. Katz. It's like it's not easy. And the K sound and the ts, and the whole thing's a mess. Try and put a name to that. But von der Leyen, like Art von der Leyen, that's a good last name. She's out there saying that the European Union will not shrink from taking tough measures to protect its economy and security. China that plays fair is good for all of us. This following talks in Paris with Xi Jinping and Emmanuel Macron, the president of France. Europe will not waver from making tough decisions needed to protect its economy and its security. We will defend our companies. We will defend our economies. Sorry, that is wartime talk. Because we know what China is. And we know what China's trying to do. And they're trying to do it now with more speed because they are failing so greatly. You can force people via the barrel of a gun to do anything. But if you're not going to do that and you take away, I don't know, purpose, value, belief, joy, you will have people search for it any way they can. And that's what young adults are doing all over China. A bunch of six-year-olds forced to dribble a basketball. That's what I see. That's what this video shows. A bunch of six-year-olds forced to dribble basketballs. I got no problem with basketball. I have no problem with kids getting exercise. It's all good stuff. But this level of propaganda video is supposed to make me think that somehow it's a superior country? Nah. Nah, I'm not going to fall for some propaganda nonsense. And again, I'll say, I think it's AI. Just one man's take. I'm Tony Katz. I won't say my prayer for another day. So let me give you the latest here. I'm trying to follow it through my sources the best that I can. There was an announcement earlier, let's call it an hour ago, East Coast time, that Hamas was accepting a ceasefire agreement put forth by the Egyptians and the Qataris. We don't know what was in this ceasefire agreement. This was happening as Joe Biden and Benjamin Netanyahu were having a phone call. Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. Hold on a second. I'm asking somebody if they're available to talk on air. There's no knowing right now what was in the ceasefire proposal that Hamas is allegedly accepting. You have Israel already making the announcement that they are going into Rafah. Everything has been about this Rafah conversation. Take a look at your map. You'll get an understanding of what we're talking about here. Rafah is, we're going to call it the south of Gaza just because it makes it easier. It is right there on the border of the Sinai Peninsula. And then, of course, into Egypt. Rafah is the town by which those people in Gaza have been moving towards, evacuating towards, as the war started, of course, Hamas killing 1,200 Israelis and others, targeting Jews, because, well, what else could they have possibly done? Killing women, raping women, killing children, kidnapping people. They still have hostages to this day. So you start with the insertion into Jabalia and people move south. Then you have the insertion into Khan Yunis, which is also to the south. And these people evacuated down to Rafah. Rafah is known for the Rafah Gate, right? A lot of aid is supposed to come through Rafah Gate, but the aid that comes through, as we know, is stolen and taken by Hamas and not given to the people. There are other gate points like Kerem Shalom, and you had three Israeli soldiers killed by Hamas as they were letting aid through. Israel has stated, we're coming for Rafah. Hamas will not stand. This is going to happen. Of course, the world is opposed. They feel the air quotes. Because there are women and children. Yes, Hamas hides amongst women and children because they are disgusting, low-life, worthless cowards. Not worthy of our time, attention, or love, and only a psychopathic college student who was desperate for the destruction of Western civilization could be supporting them. Oh, hi, Columbia. I didn't realize that you were there. Hey, good. Just talking about you. Oh, Northwestern, what's up? What's good, Rutgers? Good to see you, UCLA. What's up, West Side? Yeah, that's right. So they're going in. They're going in, and now is when we see Hamas magically accepting a ceasefire resolution. But we do not know what that ceasefire is. We don't know what the explanation is. We don't know what the details are. Avi Meyer, who is the former editor-in-chief of the Jerusalem Post, is stating that Israeli officials are now saying that the supposed ceasefire deal agreed to by Hamas is unknown, quote-unquote, to both the U.S. and Israel, and did not come up in the conversation that Biden had with Netanyahu just hours ago. So they have a conversation. Here now is this ceasefire resolution that Hamas agrees to. We're not sure what's in it. What we do know is that it has nothing to do with anything anybody's been discussing. Israel is saying, is supposedly now saying that they don't accept, that this is all nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Nobody knows what's in it. They're calling it, the Israelis are calling it, quote, a trick, unquote, saying it refers to a one-sided proposal that did not receive Israeli approval and includes terms considered unacceptable. I have no doubt about that. Going back to Avi Meyer, if this announcement does indeed turn out to be nothing more than a Hamas ruse and yet another delay tactic, that may be the final straw for Israel. Never forget what we're dealing with in Israel. Netanyahu is wildly unpopular. That much is true. When I was there, it was the thing that was most glaring. That the people who believe that you do anything to get the prisoners back, the hostages back, and the people who believe you should take out Hamas right now no matter what, we're in accord with their disgust for Netanyahu. Remember, all politics are local. It isn't just this. There's a series of other things going on in Israeli politics that had people bothered. This was just the last straw there. But they understand that he's there. Yoav Gallant, the defense minister, is there. Benny Gantz, who's referred to as minister without profile, he's there. And they are leading this government in a unity style with the prime minister as prime minister. And the objective is taking out Hamas. To the extent that there is a majority of people who are exhausted with Netanyahu, that is true. That is real. But it cannot be separated from the amount of people that is a larger number that want Hamas gone. These people have had enough. Hamas is going. Yoav Gallant, the defense minister, who could very well be the next prime minister for all I know, has been clear about this as well. They're not going to stop. So any ceasefire that includes a little bit of nonsense and doesn't actually address the issues that Israel's brought up is going to be, of course, declined. What's the perfect purpose of saying that you accepted it? The purpose of saying you accepted it is so all them U.S. college dopes out there screaming free Palestine and from the river to the sea and every other genocidal nonsense thing you can think of can say Israel won't accept a ceasefire. Israel's the problem. Israel's the enemy. Ah, suck it. They don't bother to read. Right now, we have nothing. We don't know what was in the proposal. We're only hearing through some worthy sources that Israel isn't going to accept. They have absolutely no plans at all of accepting because the proposal doesn't match anything that was on the table. It's something completely different. Hamas accepting a deal from Egypt and Qatar is different than accepting a ceasefire deal. Very different things. So that's where we are right now. I think we're about to get to... Oh, did she cancel? Hold on a second. She did not. No, she didn't. The White House is going to brief on this subject because the White House is supposed to have their press avail, but they moved it because they're going to brief amid the report. So that's coming. I'll have it for you. Keep it here. This is Tony Katz today.
2/3 of voters think the economy was better under President Trump.
Well, that's just not the case, and we have to do a better job of laying out the facts.
Of course it was better, Hakeem Jeffries. Why are you lying? It was better. It was, it was better. Wait a second. As a matter of fact, I can show you every poll out there that says it was better. I can show you stories of Democrats in lament saying, oh, the Trump days were the good old days. That's simply not true. It's true. This is the exact kind of nonsense going on where there's no recognition of reality. There's only the recognition of the propaganda. This was Nancy Pelosi on MSNBC talking about job creation.
I mean, really, I have sympathy and respect for everybody who votes. I'm glad people vote. I know some of them will always reject those of us who might look different to them in leadership or the rest, and that's that. But there are those who have real legitimate concerns about immigration, globalization, innovation, and what does that mean for their job and their family's future? And we have to address those concerns. And Joe Biden is doing that. Created 9 million jobs in his term in office. Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine. And
I don't
he has
think
the worst.
That anybody can accuse
and
me of that.
We no, but let me just say, as a Speaker of the House, we put forth a $3 trillion bill.
She's so outraged that somebody would disagree with her. People weren't allowed to go to work. Now they're allowed to go to work. That's not job creation. Tony Katz today. But there are two polls that should be looked at here. Never mind Pelosi and Hakeem Jeffries. These are propagandists. That's all they are. And how dare anybody disagree with their propaganda? The first is a poll over at ABC News, ABC Ipsos, that shows Biden and Trump tied. If you take a look at Biden-Trump head-to-head, it's 49-45 Biden. But if you take a look at Trump-Biden with RFK Jr. and Cornel West and Jill Stein in there, Trump wins by 42-40. Now, you could say, oh, I guess Trump isn't doing as well as one thought. That's not the way you look at these things. Joe Biden is the president. He's the incumbent. And every single one of these leftists tell you that if you vote for Donald Trump, you will put an end, an actual end to civilization. If you vote for Donald Trump, everything's going to be a disaster. This, I tried not to share much of it. This was MSNBC over the weekend.
Well, Congressman Garcia, one of the things we know, especially from that Time magazine profile of Trump, it points out that there are four separate entities, including the Heritage Foundation's Project 25, that are working behind the scenes create a government in waiting, complete with Trump loyalists and day one plans to uproot whatever guardrails remain against presidential overreach. Please explain why this isn't hyperbole. This is real.
You're upset that people are planning in case they're victorious? Who isn't planning? Everybody's planning. Of course, they're paid to plan. And the Heritage Foundation has made damn sure that they're a part of whatever it is Trump does if he wins. Now, I think they've done so to a level which I think does them damage because they have allowed themselves to swing into populism in too many places and not conservatism, which is, of course, where their heritage is. It's funny I used the word heritage with the Heritage Foundation. I think they have made mistakes. But we're upset with planning? This is the great threat to America? that there are people preparing, okay, if he wins, here's what we're going to do. They're going to fill all the positions with Trump loyalists. Well, yeah, that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to fill them with Biden loyalists? And by the way, who did Biden fill his team with? Average Joes? Well, we've seen how they work. They're below average. But no, they're all Biden loyalists. What a ridiculous, ridiculous conversation. But don't worry, the representative will make it even more silly.
This is dangerous. And I think what they are preparing is to destroy our democracy, the way we have elections in this country. And the congresswoman is absolutely correct. Make no mistake, and let's be crystal clear. If Donald Trump gets reelected, there is no doubt that he will try to stay in office beyond his four-year term.
Can we all just take a minute and maybe grab a bourbon and just take a breath here? You know what I need? I need some calming down music. I need some calming down. This is my official calming down music. You know it is a theme to Taxi. I believe the proper name of the song is Angela or Angela's theme. This is my calming down music right here. What was said by the congressman is absolute madness. Because what he stated, what is the quote? What you just said is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I forget the Adam Sandler movie that's from. I don't know if that's Happy Madison or Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison or Happy Gilmore. I don't know. They merge into each other. All I know is Sandler made millions. That's all I know. Listen to this again.
Our democracy, the way we have elections in this country, and the congresswoman is absolutely correct. Make no mistake, and let's be crystal clear. If Donald Trump gets reelected, there is no doubt that he will try to stay in office beyond his four-year term.
Now, I'm going to try and explain this in a way that doesn't drive everybody, you know, to drink, even though if you do, sip bourbon and sip responsibly. Donald Trump has already been president for 4 years. If he is reelected, it's a four-year term. He can't run again. Are you saying that there's going to be an election in 2028 and he, regardless of who wins, isn't going to accept that election result? Do you have any idea what kind of schmuck you sound like? Listen to what you just said.
Congresswoman is absolutely correct. Make no mistake, and let's be crystal clear. If Donald Trump gets reelected, there is no doubt that he will try to stay in office beyond his four-year term.
If you were to argue with me, isn't that what he did before? I would say to you, he might have tried, but it didn't work because Joe Biden is president right now. You know how I know that? The inflation rate, the mortgage rates, the war in Ukraine, the war in Israel, the threat of China, the continued threat of Russia. And oh, by the way, we don't have a southern border protected to save our lives. That's how I know it. So why are you telling me this as if it's somehow something I should worry about? They have nothing else. Lying and fear-mongering is everything. Which brings me to this second poll. This was on News Nation. I have it up at tonykatz.com. Go be a part of what we're doing over there. And check it out. Voters on border security, RFK Jr., and more. What I dig about this poll that was done with Decision Desk is that they survey 1,000 registered voters. Now, registered voters are not likely voters, so these things can change a little. It's always important to have the caveats. They also skew Republican by about 2.5%. Right? I give you that. This poll is of 1,000 voters, but not every voter answered every question. So they give you the margin of error based on the question. And I greatly appreciate it because it's a way to be like, okay, how legit are the answers here? In the main, they stay very close to 3%. And a 3% margin of error, for me, that's where, that to me is the acceptable range. If you go through the questions, do you approve or disapprove of the way Joe Biden is handling his job as president? Approve, 41%. Disapprove, 58%. I'm rounding here. You ask, how concerned are you about inflation? 90% very concerned or somewhat concerned. Over 90%. That margin of error, by the way, on the polling question, 3. The biggest problems facing the United States today, at 49% is inflation, at 30% is immigration, 6% is unemployment, 14.5% is crime. I should have done it the other way, but you get it. Then it gets into another series of questions. How concerned would you be about Joe Biden's age or cognitive health affecting his ability to serve another term as president? Margin of error, 3.1%. I'm good with it. 74% very or somewhat concerned. How concerned about Trump's age or cognitive health affecting his ability to serve as president? There, the number is 58%. 20 points less. I'm sorry, 15 points less. 15 points less. 15 points less can mean an election. There is no subject in this poll. No subject in this poll where Biden does better than Trump. Trump always does better than Biden. Here, I thought was the most telling question. Which of the following is the best way to refer to foreigners having entered or living in the United States without proper authorization? It's a margin of error of 3.1%. Are you ready? Illegal immigrant, 43%. Undocumented immigrant, 21%. Illegal alien, 10%. Undocumented people, 10%. And then it goes from there. Like, immigrant is just one of them. And not sure is 5%. So, 53% of people think that you should be called, if you've come to the country illegally, an illegal immigrant or an illegal alien. So more than half. All that talk about undocumented this and undocumented that and undocumented the other. All of that. And still, more than half the country has made their call. I thought this poll was valuable, not because I believe any one poll, but A, because they show you where the margin of error are so you can really get an idea. And number two, the questions seem to me to be pretty straightforward. They weren't, I mean, any question can be turned. I believe that to be true. These seem to be pretty clear. And there were so many questions, and they got from these 1,000 people enough answers to be able to share with you that pick the topic, Biden is not succeeding. And if Biden is not succeeding, then one has to believe that these lies are not succeeding.
He will destroy this country, our democracy. He'll change the way we run elections. He'll attack secretaries of state. And he'll do everything he can in his power to stay in office.
He's already attacking secretaries of state. We should change elections not to have early voting. We should change elections not to have willy-nilly mail-in ballots. We should change elections to make sure we have voter ID in every state and every municipality everywhere. So far, I'm all good with this. He's going to destroy democracy. They keep saying it. They believe they can win on it. This poll makes me wonder if they're actually in the right place. Check it out at TonyKatz.com. This is Tony Katz Today. So the Dow is up 138. The NASDAQ is up 130. That's the story right there as the markets are moving upward. The hope, I think, as we often discuss, Wall Street is a weird place. They think that there's going to be a rate cut. Why do you think this? Because Jerome Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, is signaling a little bit of weakness. Keeping inflation down was everything. Keeping the interest rates up was everything. They had to fight this. You had to win this battle. Oh, wait, Biden needs help with the economy? Got it. That's what it looks like. The only question is, will it be the way it goes? Plus, we're going to take a look at this alleged ceasefire that Hamas is agreeing to. What's up with it? That's up next. I'm Tony Katz.